I trust you've had a good day, and it's good to be back with the brethren here at Eastside. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm encouraged by your presence this evening, and those who are visiting, we're thankful as well. The Lord has given us some rain earlier in the week to water the earth, and now He's clearing up the sky, and I think the rest of the week we're going to have some nice fall weather, and so we've been blessed with a good day today, and I trust you've had a good afternoon, and I appreciate your presence this evening. More importantly, God appreciates the presence of us coming together still on the Lord's Day to worship Him. Appreciate Mike mentioning in the bulletin about the meeting this week, and I just wanted to bring attention to something that he said there. He said, he is a capable and able man in the pulpit, yet Brother Reeves needs the prayers of the saints. I'm not sure how to take that yet. Is that a yet of I'm not sure and we need the rest of the week to demonstrate that or something? Yet, Brother Reeves. However, one thing I do know, and that is that I do need the prayers of the saints, and I appreciate that if you'll pray on my behalf this week and if you'll include my family in your prayers as well. It was about 30 years ago, this past summer, in 1985, that I was in a training program with Frank Butler in Columbus, Mississippi. And one of the things that Frank stressed that summer was the importance of personal evangelism and talking with others about the gospel. And a couple of things we did that summer. One was being in people's homes, showing the old Jewel Miller film strips. We did that. And the other thing was learning a lesson that you could teach someone the gospel. And it was a lesson starting off with the parable of the sower. And I still have Frank's charts in my file. You start off talking with someone about the seed is the word of God. And when you plant that seed, it produces a Christian and nothing else. And you go down through and you teach that person. But talking with others about the gospel, inviting people to services, that was something that was very important to Frank and still is, and he's always trained young men in that regard. Brethren, if we're going to grow, if the Eastside congregation is going to be here in years to come, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, and so forth, it's going to be when these pews are filled with souls that have been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are individuals who come on their own from time to time. My wife said that we had a visitor today that just stopped in, passed by and stopped in. You'll have visitors from time to time, but mostly it's going to be by us talking with our friends and family and neighbors and sharing the gospel with them. So I want us to consider this evening how that God opens doors. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 14 in just a moment, we're going to read that end of that chapter there where Luke records Paul and Barnabas coming back from their preaching trip, Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. God opens doors. And we're going to talk this evening how that God opens doors. But brethren, my concern is that we don't walk through those doors as we should. God opens doors, and I believe He opens them on a daily basis. But we have to walk through those doors of opportunity in order to talk with others, invite others. And we're going to talk about just simple things that we can do. But in Acts chapter 14, when Luke was recording the preaching trip of Paul and Barnabas, they had gone into Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and are on their way back home, we find that Luke records in Acts chapter 14 and verse 27, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all things that God had done with them, and that He had opened a door of faith unto the Gentiles, and they tarried no little time with the disciples." Luke describes Paul's preaching, conversions, and establishment of the churches in Acts 13 and 14 as God opening a door of faith to the Gentiles. God opened opportunities, and Paul and Barnabas accepted those opportunities and seized those opportunities. And brethren, we must do the same. We all know of individuals who need to be saved, and we need to bring them here. We need to try to talk with them, or if we cannot go through a formal lesson, Mike would be glad to do that, or Brother Frank and others would do that. But we have to talk with others. And on that note, while I'm thinking about it, tomorrow evening we want to have a lesson called The 11th Hour Obedience. The 11th Hour. And you may know of someone, there may be a spouse, there may be a family member, a friend, a neighbor, a coworker, that is really putting off their obedience. They know what they need to do, but it's almost as if they're just putting it off to the last minute. Well, that's the 11th hour, and we want to talk about that tomorrow night. So you may know of somebody, please try to invite them for tomorrow evening. But this evening we want to talk about how that God opens doors. When you look at the New Testament teaching, you find that this expression, open doors, simply means opportunities. Opportunities to talk with someone about the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Paul talked about how that he wanted to remain at Ephesus because there was an open door. I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual or working is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And notice that, there are many adversaries. There are going to be people who say no. There are going to be people who reject your invitation. But getting a no is not a problem. We can get a no and we can move on. We've got to talk with others and bring them to the services. Bring them to the gospel meeting this week. But there was an open door there, and that's why Paul wanted to remain. There are more opportunities here at Ephesus. And you look at that statement there, there are many adversaries. Do you remember Acts 18 and 19 when Paul was at Ephesus? One of them was the riot there in the theater, and Demetrius the silversmith. People rejected Paul's gospel. They wanted to serve their idols. There's going to be adversaries. There's going to be adversaries. But that does not stop us. We continue to talk with individuals. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul said that when he came to Troas, there was an open door. Now, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened unto me in the Lord, I had no relief for my spirit because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went forth into Macedonia. So an open door in the Lord. And so the Lord will open up doors for us. And it's not just talking with others. Turn to Revelation chapter 3. It may be that the open door is my own personal heart. Maybe I need to open my door of my heart to Jesus even this evening. Sometimes we close it. We keep him out. We say no, but we need to open up. But in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8, do you remember when John was writing to the seven churches of Asia there? And Philadelphia is described as a church with little power. My understanding of that is they were small in some way, probably numerically. They had just a little power, but God kept the open door there. Revelation 3, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and did not deny my name. Regardless of the size of the congregation, small or great, there is a door open. And look at what John said, no one can shut it. I would add to that, no one but ourselves. We can certainly reject the teaching of Christ, and we can certainly close that door. But God's not going to close it. He's going to keep that open, and he's going to help us to have those open doors. But look at verse 20. A door may be my own personal life. And so the members of the church at Laodicea, they had grown indifferent and apathetic, and they thought they were fine and didn't need Jesus, but they needed to repent. And so chapter 3 and verse 19, we find, as many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup or dine with him, and he with me. Jesus wants to come into our life, but we have to open that door. Jesus is not going to force us to obey him. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. Jesus is not going to force us. We're not going to force you. He invites, he calls. We sing in the songbook, Jesus calls us. He calls us through his word, but he's not going to force us. And he stands there and knocks. We've got to open up to him. But open doors in Scripture is opportunity to be right with God. And so Acts 14:27, God opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. This evening, brethren, I want us to use the book of Acts and look at some examples in the book of Acts and survey some things with regard to open doors. And what we're going to look at this evening are two things. Sometimes doors are open to us by others. And number two, sometimes we have to open the door. Let's look, first of all, at the fact that sometimes doors of opportunity are open to us by others. I want to begin our journey this evening in Acts chapter 4. We're going to survey some things in the book of Acts. So let's have our Bibles open and let's read together. You remember the story there in Acts chapter 4 and 5 about how that Peter and John are preaching in Jerusalem. They're teaching in the name of Jesus, but some of the Jewish authorities don't want them to do that, and so they put them in prison. There are opportunities here to preach Jesus, but they're taken before the Sanhedrin. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. We're going to begin to see how that the apostles were put in situations where somebody said to them, "We would like for you to say something," and they spoke up. Brethren, sometimes people open doors for us. We've got to walk through and speak up and say something. Something other than weather. Something other than sports. Something other than politics. We've got to talk about important things. We have just a limited amount of time here on this earth. And there's nothing wrong with talking about those other things. But what's important is the soul salvation of an individual. And what we're going to find is that when others came and opened up doors, the apostles spoke up. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. Peter and John, and when they had set them in the midst of them, they inquired, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders," and he goes on down to verse 12 and preaches that there is no salvation in any other than Jesus Christ. What was said? A question. By what power or by what name have you done this? A question. Sometimes people will ask us a question. At school, at work, somewhere else. They ask a question about something. It's an open door to talk with them about the Word of God. There have been things happening this past summer with the Supreme Court and homosexuality. And people are talking about that at work and other places. It's a great opportunity to begin to talk with someone about the Word of God. Look at chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Peter and John are put in prison, but an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life." And they do that very thing. God literally opened that door with an angel, let them out of prison. They go back and they begin to preach. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1 with me. Do you remember when Stephen was in Jerusalem preaching, and he's preaching in the synagogue of the libertines, and he's speaking mightily, filled with the Holy Spirit and so forth? Look at Acts chapter 6 and verse 14. "And all that sat in the council, fastening their eyes on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And the high priest said, 'Are these things so?'" Boom, right there. There it is. Open door. "Are these things so?" Did Stephen say, I don't know. Let me get something." No, he begins to preach what we call that sermon in Acts 7. And he starts in Acts chapter 7 in verse 1, and he starts with Abraham, how that God called Abraham, and he comes all the way down to Jesus Christ in verse 52, the righteous one. How did that get started? "Are these things so?" Boom. He used that as an opportunity. Sometimes doors of opportunity are opened by others. We have to step through. We have to speak up and say something. Let's look at another example in Acts chapter 13 and verse 15. When Paul is preaching in the synagogue there in Antioch. Acts 13 verse 15. "And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.'" There it is, right there. An open door. And it was provided by somebody else. "Do you all have something that you like to say?" And Paul said, "Yes, I'd like to say something." And he, again, starts preaching. He starts in the Old Testament. Unlike Stephen, who started with Abraham, Paul starts with Israel coming out of Egypt. In verse 16, Paul stood up and beckoned with the hand, and he starts talking about how that God brought Israel out of Egypt, and lo and behold, he comes all the way down to Jesus Christ in verse 38 and 39, that you cannot be saved without this man. Forgiveness of sins is found in this man. But how did it get started? Would y'all like to say something? And that God provides that even today. You may be at work, you may be at school, there may be some other situation and somebody is talking about this and they might say, "Well, what do you think?" There you go. There's your open door. And we need, as Christians, we need to be saying things and talking with others about the Word of God. Look at chapter, there's some more things that could be said there about verse 42. Notice there that they broke up and said, can you come back the next Sabbath? What did Paul say? No. He said, yeah, that would be great. And he does, and there are those who are converted. Look at chapter 17 with me. Do you remember when Paul was in the city of Athens? When Paul was in the city of Athens, he was preaching. Look at verse 16. Brethren, how is it that we talk with others about the Word of God when we are provoked and stirred up about sin that is in the world? Be very careful, brethren, that we don't let the devil get us lethargic and apathetic and settled where we don't care anymore. Look at verse 16. When he went into Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he beheld the city full of idols. He was provoked. And then look at the very next word. So he reasoned in the synagogue. When you're stirred up, when you're provoked, when you're bothered by lost souls, then you will say something. I will say something. And he did. Well, he's preaching in town. Come on down to verse 18, 19. The Stoic and Epicurean philosophers gather together and they wonder about this man. Verse 18, what this babbler would say. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus saying, look at it, may we know what this new teaching is, which is spoken by thee. And he preaches what we call that sermon on the unknown God. And as a result, look at it, verse 34, Dionysius, the Areopagite, becomes a believer and begins to follow with Paul. Why? Because it all started off with, are these things so? And Paul said, can I have a moment here? I'd like to talk with y'all. And he spoke with them about the unknown God. Sometimes doors of opportunity are opened to us by others. And we can go on. Look at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. Paul is now back in Jerusalem. He had taken the funds to the needy saints in Judea, the alms to his brethren. And he was in the process of doing that in the temple, and he's falsely arrested and accused. And so starting in Acts 22, 23, 24, 25, there's this story that unfolds about Paul and how Paul gets from Jerusalem all the way over to Caesar in Rome. And that's really the rest of the book of Acts. Well, he's in front of different individuals, and each time he's given an opportunity to speak, and he speaks up. Acts 23 and verse 1, he's in Jerusalem again before the Sanhedrin, and Paul, looking steadfastly on the council, said, brethren, I have lived before God in all good conscience until this day. And later, he begins to talk about the resurrection, verse 6, 7, and 8. He didn't just keep quiet. He didn't just say, well, can we talk about sports and politics and the weather and non-essential things? He talked about what was important. We find, if we come on over to Acts chapter 24, when he's in front of Felix and giving his defense there, Acts 24, 10, and when the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, Paul answered, Paul, would you like to say something? And he speaks up. And then later we know in chapter 24, verses 24 and 25, that he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. Here's Paul on trial, and many people would have used that as a negative thing, I'm on trial, I can't do anything. He used his trials as a positive preaching platform. Many people would have been put on trial, and they would have said, well, you know, I'm so bummed out by this trial, and I'm just going to sit in my jail cell, and when they bring me out, I'm going to, you know, murmur and complain. He used it as an opportunity to preach in a very positive way. So even negative things, with our attitude, we can turn around into positive things. And so he reasons with Felix of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. Turn with me to Acts chapter 26, when Paul is on trial. He leaves Felix, and now he's on trial before Agrippa. And Agrippa said to Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and made his defense. And this is one of the chapters that we call Paul's conversion. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26. Paul, would you like to say something? And he stretches forth his hand and he makes a defense. But it's not just about himself. He's telling others about being saved through Jesus Christ, how that he had saw the risen Lord. and how that he had been converted to him and he's following him now. And this is the well-known statement, verse 28, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. So he talked with Agrippa about that very thing. Turn with me as we continue on. We'll be looking at Acts chapter 28 later. We're going to look at Acts 28 when Paul gets into Rome in just a minute. What have we learned from this, brethren? Sometimes doors are opened to us. Our friends say something, our neighbors, our family members say something. We don't live in a completely amoral world. We don't live in a completely atheistic world. There are religious people around us, and religious discussions are had, whether it's at Hardee's or McDonald's or wherever we might meet individuals. People still talk about religious things. It's doors open for us to say something. And so what have we learned? Well, number one, are we ready to speak when that opportunity presents itself? When someone asks that question, are these things so? Is it so that the Church of Christ doesn't believe in music? Is it so that y'all don't go by the Old Testament? Is that so? Well, we need to be able to say something, you say. Or if it's not a question, it may be something like, well, if you would like to say something, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. We need to speak up. And what's going to drive that? Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Why was it that Peter and John and Paul and others, when that opportunity was presented, they walked right through that door? Why was that? Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. The boldness of Peter and John. Brethren, we need to be bold. We need to be courageous. That doesn't mean we lift our voice and yell. That means that we are just simply firm and we love the Lord and we love to serve Him and we're going to talk with others about the most important thing in the world to talk about, and that's the gospel. We have to have boldness. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 20, here's a second thing that we need. Verse 20, we cannot but speak the things which we saw and heard. It needs to be something where we can't wait to get it out. And then in chapter 5 and verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. We must have a love for God and a love for His Word to talk with others about that. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers. Brethren, let me ask you this question. What do we use our Bible classes for? You ever thought about that? What do we use our Bible classes for? What do we use our sermons for? Well, we want to learn God's Word. We want to apply those things in our life. Have you ever thought about the fact that our Bible classes help us to know things to tell others? Our sermons help us to know things to tell others. And if you're working with someone and there's a particular topic that comes up and you're not sure exactly how to deal with that, ask Mike. He'll bring a lesson on that. I'm talking with someone about instrumental music. I don't know exactly what to say about that. Can you bring a lesson on that? He'd be glad to do that. What are we using our information for? We have all this seed, but are we getting it out of the bag? I liken our Bible classes and our sermons to seed that's in a bag, but we got to get it out of this building if it's going to do any good. We just have a bunch of seed, but do we get it out of the bag? Do we get it out of the building? Let me encourage all of us to do that. I've had seed before. I've gone to the co-op, buy a big old bag of Kentucky 31, and then just go put it in the garage. I never get around to putting it in the spreader. And Sherry says, well, you know, why do we have those bare spots out there? Do we have any seed? Yeah, I got a big old 50-pound bag down in the basement, but I got to get it out of the bag. And so we have all this knowledge and all this information and all these great lessons and all kinds of good information, but what are we doing with it? Are we disseminating it? Are we spreading it? We've got to get it out of the bag if we're going to help those lost souls. And so when by reason we ought to be teachers, don't think of that in the sense of Bible class teachers in these rooms over here, but just simply me sitting down across the coffee table with someone, teaching them the Word of God, even in a very simple or plain way. And then turn with me to 1 Peter 3:15. We have to be ready to give an answer. We have to be ready to give an answer. So when doors of opportunity are opened by others, what did we find in the book of Acts? Whether it was Stephen or Paul or Peter and John, when somebody asked a question or when somebody said, do you have anything to say? Boom, they spoke up, they got out there, they said something, and souls were saved. Sometimes God allows others to open those doors up, and we need to be walking through them, but we need to be ready. Look at verse 15. Sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And so, brethren, we need to be ready when that door opens. And you know what? I believe God does that on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis. People that we can just simply talk to. And it's as simple as, where do you go to church? We've had folks come at Memorial Boulevard because somebody just asked them, where do you go to church? How hard is that to say? It's not hard to say. Where do you go to church? Very easy. And they'll say something like, well, I don't go anywhere. And then they'll be invited and they come. It's as easy as that, brethren. We need to be talking with others about the gospel. That's how we grow. We want this good congregation to be present in the days to come, in the years to come, but we have to talk with others. And God's going to open those doors. We have to walk through them. So number one, sometimes those doors of opportunity are open to us by others. But turn back with me to the book of Acts. I want to look at a second point that we find. And that is, sometimes we have to open the door. Sometimes we have to make it happen. Sometimes we have to make that opportunity happen. And so I want to talk about doors that we open up. And I want to begin in Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. As you're turning to Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, let me tell you how easy this is. And I was giving Mike a hard time about the bulletin earlier, but that's the very thing that I'd like to talk about right now. We have a member of the church there at Memorial Boulevard. He's a school bus driver. He's a school bus driver. That's what he does. And he takes the bulletin just like this. In fact, he asked me before I left yesterday to come down here. He said, do you have that bulletin ready? Because I'm going to need that. He comes in and gets the bulletin. He makes 50 copies. And he passes out 50 copies every week. He goes to Wendy's and gives it to all the people there. He goes all over the place. He gives it to his kids on the bus route. I've been thinking, how long is it going to take for the school board to find out that he's passing out bulletins to kids? I hope it takes a while, because he's doing some great work. And the kids are giving it to their parents. And we've had Bible studies. We've had Bible studies set up because the child will say something to the parents. Well, Mr. Eric wants to come by and study the Bible. And they say yes to that, and we'll have a study. All he does is he just gives people the bulletin. How easy is that? It's an opportunity that he has created, and he's been doing this for several years. Now, it gets even better. He takes that bulletin, and he makes about 25 copies. So now we're up to 75 copies. He takes about 25 copies, and he gives that to two different preachers from denominational churches in town. They're taking our bulletin and copying it for their members. I mean, how good is that? So every time, what kind of articles do I put in there? First principle articles, articles about the church, different things about different things involving the plan of salvation, and they're passing it out to their members. Somebody's learning the truth, right? And how is that? All he does is just give somebody a bulletin. Let me suggest now, as we start on this part of the sermon, that it's the challenging part. It's the part that maybe might step on our toes a little bit, but there are things that we can and should be doing. And I just wanted to share with you how simple that is. He just copies about 75 bulletins. And the bulletin right now, the bulletin is being picked up by the local members, but there's more being passed out in the community. And so I'm always gearing the bulletin toward that first principle approach, knowing that. So that's one thing that he does. He's making it happen, and it happens. And he is the one at Memorial Boulevard that is providing more Bible study opportunities than anybody else. And all he does is pass out a bulletin. And I'm telling you, brethren, it's the one-on-one. And that's what Frank was trying to teach young men through the years, just the one-on-one. There can be some good. Some good can come from what we call mass media. A radio program, a newspaper article. Some good can come from that. But much, much more good comes from just one-on-one conversation. And Frank will tell you that. And others will tell you that. It's just people we know and love and have relationships with. Those are the people that we sit down and talk with. So let's talk about now doors that we open up. We make it happen. Look with me at Acts chapter 3. Do you remember in the healing of the man that was lame and Peter and John heal him there in the temple at the hour of prayer? Look at verse 11. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And now here's my point. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "You men of Israel." And he preached the same basic sermon that he preached on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. But look at what the text says. He saw people coming together, so he said to them, "You're going to see situations, brethren, where you can make it happen. You see a situation where you can talk with somebody. It can be at Walmart. It can be at Kroger. It can be anywhere where you see a situation where you can say something to somebody. Something's going on where you can make that happen." Look at Acts chapter 8. Another way that we make doors open is our take on things that are happening in life. Something that could start off being a negative thing, we have the right attitude, we turn it into a positive thing. Do you remember in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 that it says that the church was scattered abroad because of the stoning of Stephen? What did the brethren do with that? Did they turn that into a situation? Well, Stephen's been killed. And what are we going to do? Let's just hide out in our house because, you know, out of fear, and we just don't want to do anything. No, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word because they made it happen. It was their attitude toward the situation. Our attitude toward any situation can be negative, where we just can't do anything, or it can be positive. We're going to turn it into a good thing. That's how Acts 8:4, that's how the church at Samaria got started. And if you turn over to Acts 11, that's how the church in Antioch got started. In Acts 11 and verse 19, it said that they were scattered because of the stoning of Stephen, and some went to Antioch. That's how these churches got started. So it's our attitude toward what happens in life that we either open a door or we just sit there and do nothing. We can make it happen, brethren. Look at Acts chapter 16. This is a great one. Do you remember when Paul and Silas were traveling and they get over to, they respond to the Macedonia call? And by the way, the Macedonia call is still going on today. Come over and help us. There are brethren in Shelbyville who are saying, "Please help me." They're crying out. There are people on drugs. There are people out of unwed mothers, financial problems, all kinds of issues going on. And they're crying out, maybe not literally, but they're reaching out. There are still people like that, and we need to help them. But look at Acts chapter 16. When they get to Philippi, look at verse 13. Acts 16:13, "And on the Sabbath day we went forth without the gate by a riverside," look at this, "where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spake unto the women." We thought that there was a place of prayer over there, so that's where we went. They made it happen. And that's what Eric is doing in Springfield. He's got these bulletins, and he'll tell me something like this. He'll say, "You know, over there at such and such place, I think there's some people over there that I could give this bulletin to." And he goes over there and he gives it to them. They supposed that there was a place of prayer, so that's why they went there. And lo and behold, Lydia and her household are baptized into Christ, and the church at Philippi gets started. Why? Because they thought that there was a place where some people were, and they went there. There are places in Shelbyville where we congregate and meet. We might meet with some folks at Hardee's for breakfast. I know in Springfield, we used to meet, several of us used to meet at Arby's for breakfast, and we would have Bible studies there. There are places where we can go and talk with others about the gospel. Take your Bible with you when you go. Different places like that. And doors of opportunity will open up. Look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. It was Paul's custom to go into the synagogue. He made it a habit. When you make it a custom or a habit, I'm telling you, doors will open up. If we don't make that habit, then no, they won't open up. But he made it a habit. He made it a custom of going in there, and he had great success. Look at chapter 18 and verse 7. I love this one. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 7, when Paul was in Corinth, he's trying to preach in the synagogue, and there's some Jews who say no. Listen to me. When man shuts a door, listen, God opens up another door. So you're going to get a no. Yeah, you're going to get a no. But God will open up another one, and sometimes He does it right next door. Look at this in Acts chapter 18 and verse 7. Verse 6, they opposed themselves and blasphemed. Some of these Jews did not want the gospel at all. He, Paul, shook out his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean from henceforth. I will go into the Gentiles. And he departed from there and went into the house of a certain man named Titus Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house was joined hard to the synagogue. He just went next door. And you go on reading, it says that many Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. A door was shut, verse 6, but another one is opened, verse 7. Brethren, we're going to get some notes. Eric, this brother that's passing out bulletins, he's got, we have what's called the Bargain Browser. It's a trader magazine. I'm sure you have one here in Benton County. And he likes to buy and sell and trade, kind of a horse trader of sorts. And he was going out one day to buy a motorcycle. He wanted to look at this motorcycle. And he goes out there and he had some bulletins with him. And he's talking with this guy about this motorcycle. And he decides not to buy it. But he said, I've got a bulletin here. Would you like to read this? And you know what the fellow said? He said, no. Well, it's just some good material. No, I don't want to read that. He said, I don't want to have anything to do with organized religion. And Eric said, that's fine. And he left. But did Eric stop passing out bulletins? No. We're going to get a no. Verse 6, we're going to get a closed door. But another one will open up somewhere else. So we've got to keep going, brethren. We've got to keep going. And we will find those souls that need to be saved. And so on and on and on. You look at chapter 19 and verse 2. Paul found some disciples of John the Baptist. They're converted. Look at verse 9. Here's another example of man shuts one door and God opens up another one. In chapter 19 and verse 8, he reasoned in the synagogue for the space of 3 months concerning the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and disobedient, speaking evil of the way, that is Christians, before the multitude, Paul just stopped. Is that what the text says? No, he departed from them and separated the disciples and started meeting in the school of Tyrannus. Okay, so some are hardened and disobedient. They say no. We'll just go across town and we'll find another place to meet and we'll keep going. Man will shut doors. The devil will shut doors. But we have to have that courage and fortitude and love for God to go find that next opened door. In Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, this is another one that I like. When Paul is being arrested, let's see, I meant to, on the overhead there, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, with regard to Ephesus. So he's in Ephesus, and when some doors are shut, God opens other doors. And look at when he's looking back on this in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, here's my thought. He describes it as this, I shrank not from declaring unto you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, wherever I could find an open door. Sometimes it was out in public, sometimes it was house to house. God will open up those doors. In Acts chapter 21, turn with me to Acts 21:39. When Paul was arrested in the temple. I have a sermon I do sometimes called Four Roman Centurions. Just about every time Roman centurions are mentioned in the New Testament, it's always in a positive light. Here's one of them. He's about to be arrested, and a Roman centurion protects him. But he's going up the steps into this fortress that belonged to the Roman soldiers. And look at what the text says. Paul said, Acts 21:39, Paul said, I am a Jew of Tarsus of Cilicia, a citizen of no mean or small city. And I beseech thee, give me leave to speak to the people. And when he had given him leave, Paul, standing on the stairs, beckoned with the hand unto the people, and he preaches to them one of the conversions of Saul. But look at verse 39 and 40. Can I say something to the people? He turned an arrest into a preaching opportunity. We make it happen. We make it happen. We open that door. It could be passing out a bulletin. We've been doing this for years at home. It's just a little card that has the church information on it and a little line where you can put your name and phone number or email. And brethren are just hey, here's a card. Come visit us. I use them when somebody says, can I have your email? I'm at the tire place. And the guy says, well, I'll have your tires on in 30 minutes, but can I have your phone number so I can call you back? Sure. What card do I use? Not just any. I use this one because it's got the church information on it. Here's my number. passing out just little things that we can do. Just inviting. Andrew invited his brother Peter, right? Philip, he just went and got Nathanael. That's all he did. John chapter 1, he just went and found Nathanael. Come see Christ. What did the woman at the well do after she talked with Jesus? She went back into town and what? Just got her friends and brought them out to Jesus. It's very easy. It's not hard. We might say, where do you go to church? We might give them a card. We might pass out a bulletin. Just easy, easy things. Recordings of the sermons. I've got some CDs here. Our preacher preached last week on such and such topic. Here's a CD. Would you like to listen to it? And listen, young people, I'm encouraged by our young people this evening. I've known of cases where young people, especially like teenagers, they are some of the greatest individuals bringing their friends. We've had that happen at Memorial Boulevard, where the young people were bringing more visitors than anybody else. You've got friends. You've got friends. And young people do a great job of saying, hey, come to our gospel meeting. You know, we're having a Bible study. Come to our Bible study in somebody's home. So let me encourage you to do that. The point is, we are making the opportunities happen. We could go on looking at some other examples in the book of Acts, but I want to close with this point. Are we caring and concerned enough to open those doors? Jesus said, knock and it will be opened. Luke 11:9-10. Are we knocking? Are we seeking? Are we asking? And we need to be knocking and God will open those doors. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus said, the fields are already white unto harvest. And when he said, look, he was talking about the people that were coming because the woman at the well went and got her friends. And here comes these people. And that's when he says, look, the fields are white. He wasn't talking about literal fields. He's talking about the people who are coming because the next few verses talk about how that they end up coming. That's the harvest. It's already there. And look at what he says, brethren. Pray that the Lord would send reapers. The problem is not the harvest. The problem is not, well, there's nobody to talk to in Shelbyville. The problem is us, reapers. We have to get out there. There's plenty of harvest. We have to get out of our comfort zone to talk with others about the gospel. And it really comes with care and concern. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, we need to be like Paul, where his heart's desire that his brethren would be saved. My heart's desire and supplication to God is for them that they may be saved. We all have loved ones that are headed down that broad road to destruction. And as Jude says, we need to be snatching them out of the fire. How we can sleep at night without being bothered by that. We have to be bothered. We have to care and concern. And then we will talk. And then we will have that love to talk with that neighbor, that friend, that loved one. And so as we close this evening then, let us pray for three things. Let us pray for open doors. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3 that we would pray that a door would be opened for the Word. Let us pray for open doors. But it takes more than that. It takes more than that. We need to pray for open hearts. The Lord opened Lydia's heart. Pray that hearts would be opened in Shelbyville that would be good and honest and would accept the invitation and would accept the Bible study. But I believe this last one is probably the biggest challenge for all of us. We pray for open doors. We pray for open hearts. But we need to pray that our mouths would be opened to talk with others. In Psalm 51:13-15, do you remember the psalmist there? It's that great psalm. Most likely about David's sin with Bathsheba and how he wants to be forgiven of that. And look at Psalm 51:13. He says that after you forgive me, Lord, and after you give me mercy, I will teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted to thee. You forgive me, Lord, and I'll go out and tell others. And really, that's what's going on. When we're forgiven, and we are, and when we realize that and appreciate that, we want to go out and talk with others and bring them to the Lord. So let's pray. Paul said, pray for me that I might speak the word with all boldness. Brethren, there are open doors. You know there's open doors this week to talk with others, even about this gospel meeting. The young people will be going to school tomorrow. You can talk with your friends. Say, hey, come with me to the gospel meeting tomorrow night. Afterwards, we'll go down here to Baskin Robbins and get some ice cream. We'll hang out together. Come visit us at church services. They'll say yes. They'll say yes. There's young people who will come. And we have friends and neighbors who will come. So I wanted to do this lesson tonight, early on, so that even this week, we can see how that God opens doors for us. Let us pray that we will walk through them. There may be someone here this evening that needs to walk through the open door. We're not given a promise of finishing out this meeting. We're not given a promise of tomorrow. We are given of a promise right now. And when we stand and sing this song of invitation, if you need to come and make your life right, repenting of your sin and being baptized into Christ, do that. You have this moment. You may not have another moment. You know, so many times we're seeing on the news, and in a small town like Shelbyville or even Springfield, we know a lot of people. There are folks dying all the time, just very quickly. And young people in Robertson County, tragic car accident, a four-wheeler accident, all that kind of thing. Boom, their life is over with. We don't know the time that we have. And if we need to respond, we need to do that right now. Or as an erring child of God, we think, well, I'll come back in someday. We just drag our feet. We need to do that. Now is the door. The door's open. Jesus is knocking. You know what? One day, that's going to stop. There's not going to be any more knocking. There's not going to be any more invitation. It'll just be all over. And Jesus said in Psalm Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, that the door was shut. There's just no more opportunity to obey the Lord. If we can encourage you, if we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?
All things are ready.